The Women's March on Washington and its sister marches around the country and the world drew what was estimated to be more than 1 million people into the streets last month. Here in Phoenix, as many as 25,000 people came out to the state capitol to demonstrate in solidarity with those who they felt had been marginalized by the incoming Trump administration.
And on the day of the march, a group of sociologists from the University of Maryland hit the streets as well to document the event. The show's Lauren Gilger is here with more on what they found. And Lauren, what exactly were they looking for?
Right. So they're sociologists. So they wanted to know things like who exactly showed up for the march, what their motivations were, how active they were in politics before they showed up that day. Their goal is to find out how the election was potentially spurred a new wave of activism and what that wave might look like. So they designed a survey that asked some basic questions of the people at the march, like, what are your political affiliations? Did you vote in the election? Who did you vote for?
Right. There was a lot of speculation about that. People wondering if all of these people who showed up to march actually voted in the election. So what did they find?
They're just looking at preliminary results at this point, but they found that most of the people who came to the march did vote, and most voted for Hillary Clinton, which isn't a surprise. I spoke with one of the researchers about this, Dawn M. Dow, and she's an assistant professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. And I asked her, why did people say that they were out there protesting that day? What were their motivations?
Well, it's not surprising that, you know, for a march that was called the Women's March, that a large proportion of the people were out there for issues that were sort of connected to women's rights, right? So, 60% approximately said that they were there for women's rights. But then if you look at the sort of second tier levels of responses, people cited in sort of very close statistical heat, I would say, approximately a third said environmental justice or racial justice, issues regarding to LGBTQ communities, reproductive rights. And then there were other things that they said as well, such as equality and social welfare and immigration. So there was I would say that there was a broad representation of issues that people were out to protest and to make the government aware that they want to protect those rights.
Right, right. So was this the first time most of those people were out there protesting or marching or demonstrating in some way?
I think that it's fair to say that the march did play a role in activating sort of a new generation of protesters. So a third of the people who were in the march had never protested before. So this is their first protest. And we haven't looked at the age breakdowns of what that is, but the fact that a third of the folks who were out, this was the first thing that drew them out into a march setting, is noteworthy. Big marches tend to bring out new people, but a third is a lot. And then if you include that amount with people who haven't been out for a protest for the last 5 years, that number goes up to over 50% of the people who came had either this was their first time protest or this was their first protest in 5 years, right? So the Women's March represented an opportunity to sort of activate people who had maybe previously been active in protesting but had not in the last 5 years done so. So it brought those people back into the realm of activism.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. So there's not only a lot of diversity sort of in the motivations of the group out there, but there's also a really broad group of people in terms of this brought out people who maybe have not, don't normally go out on the street and demonstrate for something.
Right, no, absolutely. I think that you saw people out there who this was not something that they normally did, but they felt as though coming to this march and bringing their friends, their colleagues, their daughters, their sons, that it was an important thing to do. So you saw people out there who, you know, had not been protesting for some time, had not gone to a march since Vietnam, you know, so but felt they needed to come to this one.
So that's not normal for most demonstrations, right? That sort of makes this unique?
It would be hard for me to say how unique this is. I think that it is somewhat unusual that there's so many people who are first-time marchers, that more than half are first-time marchers. So, for example, one issue marches that might be about climate change or might be about racial justice or might be about, you know, social welfare. The people who are involved in those marches are typically not first-time activists, whereas I think this march did bring in people who were marching not just because they were a part of a constituency of, you know, around issues, but felt as though there was a broad claim that they wanted to make about protecting rights that they felt were being challenged.
Right. So that broad aspect of this, do you think that makes this movement more powerful looking toward the future?
It's hard to speculate about what's going to happen with the movement. I think what seems to be happening is that there's a sort of like a coalition and sort of a intersectional lens where people are coming together who may not have necessarily been in the same space before and are coming to see issues that, you know, they may have viewed as not being directly relevant to them as now being relevant to them. And so in some ways it seems to be providing some kind of framework for activism in the future. So, you know, as you look around the D.C. area in terms of when there was a recent ban that was put in place, that there were lots of protests in airports, right? And I think that this march happening before that may have laid the groundwork for those additional protests to pop up so readily afterwards.
I saw someone post on Facebook last week, I think, that protests are the new brunch.
Yeah, and it sort of activated new networks, right? You know, I think that there's this tendency to think of social media, and people have kind of like derided it as slacktivism or clicktivism as not being something that has had a real power. And I think one thing that we are seeing, at least in our preliminary analysis of our data, is that social media played a really important role, particularly Facebook, on getting people out. And so it wasn't a matter of just, you know, clicking and signing your name or, you know, saying you like something or dislike something or making a comment. That translated to spreading information, telling people about the march, getting people who were similar minds together to mobilize and come out to the march. So there was definitely a translation between that sort of activity online, which is a form of social network with actual offline activism and protest and marches.
That's Dawn M. Dow, Assistant Professor of Sociology at the University of Maryland, who studied the sociology of the Women's March last month. She said they're still in the process of crunching all of the numbers on this, and they'll be releasing that information soon.
And that's the show's Lauren Gilger. Thank you.
Thank you.